this morning as I begin to work on the second part of this particular message on the I wills of God. I couldn't help but be drawn to the subject of grace and the I wills of grace, if you will. As we look at the gospel message, as we look at the New Testament in particular, we find that it is filled with the grace and the graciousness of God. In the Old Testament, under the law structure, it was filled with the thou shalts, if you will. But when we come into the New Testament and we come into the fulfillment of Christ and taking care of the thou shalts, because he said he has come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so as he fulfilled the law, there became a major shift in our mindset. And so we move into the I wills. And the following six things that I have kind of gleaned from the New Testament, I believe, help to show the action of God as he pours out his grace upon you and I. So please bear with me as we look at these I wills of grace. And we're going to be jumping all over in your New Testament. So that's why there wasn't a scripture passage read earlier. But I want to share with you, first of all, the I will of forgiveness, then the I will of rest, the I will of security, the I will of impression, the I will of service, and the I will of indwelling. So let's work our way through these six I wills of grace. The very first one we find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and the 17th verse. And this is the I will of forgiveness. As the writer of the Hebrews is writing in the 17th verse, he says this, and this is God speaking, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." I will remember no more. The I will of forgiveness. You know, we can take great comfort in this particular I will. There isn't any doubt in my mind that every one of us who is here, every one of us has done something in our lives at some point that we would like to forget. Something that we're ashamed of. Something that we know was wrong and would just like to forget about it. Well, we can take great comfort in the fact that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we repent of our sins and we come to Him in faith, recognizing that He loves us, He died for us, that He has compassion and love for us, we can take great comfort in the promise of Hebrews 10:17 that those things that we're so ashamed of, those things that we would like to forget, God will not remember them against us. And in fact, in the Old Testament, even back in the Old Testament, God says that He will take our sins and remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. That He will take our sins and He will bury them in the sea of His forgetfulness. That He will take our sins and never remember them against us again. You know what? We don't deserve that. That's what makes it grace. Grace is the undeserved merit of God. The unmerited love of God. Even though it's not deserved, God willfully pours out his grace upon us in forgiveness. And in that, he forgets those things we've done. And so the issue then boils down to, will we forgive ourselves? Since God will never remember those things against us, let's forgive ourselves. And fully envelop ourselves in God's grace. The I will of forgiveness. Secondly, I want you to notice the I will of rest. Look with me at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We're going to focus on verse 28, but I want to read verses 25 through 30. But note when we get to verse 28. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. You see, when Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest, he's talking about a spiritual renewal, a spiritual birth. The burden of sin is so heavy that people try all different types of things to escape it, and those things just lead them into deeper and deeper sin and darkness. But Jesus says, look, if you'll come to me, if you will give to me your life, I'll let you rest from that. You know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're carrying around a burden that you don't need to carry. That Jesus is saying, look, give me the rottenness, the awfulness, the deceits, the deceptions. Give me the sinful behavior. Give me the things that you have done that you know were wrong, the sins, not the mistakes, the sins of life. Give them to me, and I'll take them away. And my response then, in receiving those things from you, is that I will give you rest. You'll not have to be plagued by the thoughts of what you've done, but you can be freed. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus looked at his disciples and said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's real freedom. When we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, he sets us free from the burden of ourselves. He sets us free from the power of our sins and gives us spiritual rest and hope for everlasting. The second I will of grace is the I will of rest. Number three, I want you to note the I will of security. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You know, when we keep our faith and our confidence in Christ, when we walk in faithful obedience to Him, we have the amazing promise that He's not going to leave us along the ditch somewhere. He's going to be with us no matter what we face. If we face the end of this life, He'll hold our hand. He's not going to take off in that moment of fear of the unknown. The psalmist said it like this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Great confidence in the fact that God doesn't forsake. We are secure in Christ when we walk in faith and faithful obedience to Him. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you obey whatsoever I've commanded you. God will make us fruitful in our faithfulness. And He will bless us with His presence so that no matter what this world might throw at us, we can have confidence in Christ, in knowing that He will walk that valley with us. And He'll give us strength and hope and encouragement and direction. Follow Christ. Obey Him. Be secure in His love. Number four, I want you to notice the I will of impression. The I will of impression. Hebrews chapter 10, just back a couple of chapters. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. Now catch this. I will put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind. I will write them. He then says, and their deeds and their lawless their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. But I want you to notice that what the promise here is that the Holy Spirit is going to place upon the minds of God's children and upon their hearts the impressions of what's right and what's wrong. He's going to impress upon them what is true. And He is going to discourage them from following that which is false. He is going to so impress upon their hearts and their lives the image of God that He makes walking in faithfulness to Him a joy and not a duty. A hope in a very hopeless world. God loves us enough that He impresses us with His Word and stamps His image on our minds and on our hearts. What an amazing love God has for us. And the impression of grace is powerful. Number five, I want you to notice the I will of service. Back once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Verse 19, very familiar passage. These are the very first disciples that Jesus calls. And you'll recognize them as Peter and Andrew. And he says this in that 19th verse. And he said to them, he said to Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, these guys were slaves to a boat. And Jesus wants them to be slaves of glory and of grace. Jesus wants them to be followers of His and not followers of fish. He wants them to be those who will serve Him fruitfully and bring a great catch in for the Lord. He wants to make them prosperous in faith so that they can be effective in service. And he says, I will make you fishers of men. Folks, never let the enemy tell you you can't witness for Christ. You can't be effective for the kingdom. That's a lie, because Jesus has promised, I will make you fishers of men. And you know, that command isn't just for Andrew and for Peter, but it's for all who will follow him. Just as the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just as that commission is for every one of us, serving God is a command that He gives to every one of us. Don't serve yourself. You're too small a package. Serve God. He is the ultimate master. Number six, I want you to notice the promise of indwelling, the I will of indwelling. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I shall dwell in them. The promise of the indwelling. You see, once we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in us. And He becomes our guide. He becomes our doctor. He becomes our comforter. He becomes our wisdom. He becomes our strength. He becomes our joy. He becomes our glory. He becomes our helper. He becomes all of the things that we are unable to do on our own. The indwelling God has come to take up residency in man's life. What an amazing gift that God would dwell in us, restoring His perfect image in us, renewing our daily walk, giving us fresh opportunities to be able to serve Him and take others to heaven with us. What an amazing gift we have because of God's grace. Six, I wills of grace. The I will of forgiveness, the I will of rest, the I will of security, the I will of impression, the I will of service, and the I will of indwelling. What more could we ask from a God who reaches out to you and I? Let's be a people who are filled with God's grace. Let's be a people who rejoice in God's hope. Let's be a people who submit to God's leadership. Let's be a people that reflect God's glory in this world of sin. Would you please stand with me?